This is your NPR station, 90.3 WBHM, Birmingham. I'm Andrew Yeager. The word unprecedented has been thrown around during the coronavirus pandemic, but it's not the first disease to strike the world. In 1918, what became known as the Spanish influenza killed tens of millions of people and dramatically changed daily life everywhere, including in Alabama. Most people who lived through it have since died, but several years ago, the Alabama Department of Public Health interviewed survivors of the outbreak. WBHM's Mary Scott Hodgen reports on what life was like then and how it's different from today.
In 1918, Edna Register Boone and her family were living in the rural community of Madrid in South Alabama.
I was 10 years old, and my family was the only family in the little town that did not contact the flu. Therefore, my parents became automatic nurses.
She said they cared for the whole community. Her father planted a sweet potato patch, and her mother would prepare jars of soup. Boone would put on a gauze face mask and carry food to sick neighbors. The first case of the Spanish flu in Alabama was reported in Huntsville in September of 1918. 3 weeks later, there were at least 25,000 cases in the state. Annie Laurie Williams was just 3 years old at the time, living in Selma.
I mean, we were more or less confined to the house, and should have been. I don't mean that it was a legal imposition, but I think we just did it almost voluntarily because it was, you didn't want to get out.
According to news reports from that time, Alabama closed public places like schools and churches. If people did go out, it was likely for medical help. But there wasn't much that could be done. Edna Boone said there was just one doctor in her small town, and he was overwhelmed. The nearest hospital was at least 15 miles away in Dothan.
If you loaded a sick person and put them in a wagon and take them to a hospital, that chances are that patient would be dead when they got there. Okay, if it wasn't, there would be no room. The rooms would be filled. The doctors would be worked to capacity. That's why most families just buried their own dead.
Boone said there were no church burials, and she remembered entire families dying from the virus. It's unknown exactly how many people died during the 1918 pandemic. Estimates are at least 50 million worldwide, with almost 700,000 deaths in the U.S. And this was at a time when the population was much smaller than it is today. Stephen Alstad is the chair of the biology department at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. He says there are several key differences between then and now.
1918 was still a phase of medicine where doctors were probably killing more people than they were saving. So they didn't have a clue as to what to do.
Medicine and technology have advanced a lot in 100 years. Today, there may not be a vaccine or a cure for COVID-19, but scientists are working quickly to get there. And Alstad says, in general, people know a lot more about how viruses work. He says another important thing to remember about the 1918 pandemic was that it struck during World War I.
Exactly about the time that the war ended was when it was at its height. And now you have all these people going back to their home countries and really spreading it in dramatic fashion.
The flu overtook U.S. Army camps, where men lived close together with limited access to hygiene. Alstad says because countries were at war, they also censored information. They didn't want to put their troops at a disadvantage or cause panic about a deadly illness. This delayed efforts to slow the spread of the flu. Today, Alstad says there have been political disagreements about the coronavirus, but information moves much faster than it did in 1918. He says it's a very different time. Even so, there are some common experiences of living through a pandemic. There's fear and uncertainty, and people adapt. In the community of Madrid, Edna Boone said neighbors helped one another, and they shared in their grief.
It brought families closer together, and it brought our little town closer together, because we all suffered losses one way or the other, if not through war, then through the epidemic.
When Boone was interviewed in 2007, she was asked about the possibility of another pandemic.
Oh, my goodness, what if it happened suddenly, say, within 3 or 4 days, or some sort of epidemic sweep through. I think the only thing I could suggest about that is to be aware that it could happen again.
Annie Laurie Williams also offered a few words of advice.
Go to your doctor, get your medicine, go home, be sure you've got plenty of food, and stay there.
Both Williams and Boone have since passed away. Williams died a few years ago, at the age of 98. Edna Register Boone passed away in 2011, at the age of 104. Mary Scott Hodgen, WBHM.